it's just a joy to be in church this morning, and that's part of it as well, lifting up others that are in need of different things, and so those families need us. So please jot those down or make a mental note that you'll be praying for them. And we're thankful for you being here. As Daniel mentioned already, this is the first of our decades fellowships. If you're in your 20s or 18, 19, or in your 20s, then we're asking you to stay and go with us over to the Family Life Center, and we'll have a good time. Now, of course, that if you're in that obviously you bring your family as well with you. You don't have to leave them behind, but we'll have a great time. This will be our first one. We're looking forward to it, and we're going to go over right as soon as the service is done. And as many people remind me, then the only thing standing between us and eating is you. I'm well aware of that. But I've got broad shoulders. I'll hold the weight on it here for just a little while. But I am so thankful for you being in church this morning. I was disappointed, to be honest with you. I was disappointed to get up this morning. It's raining. I think every pastor is. If it's raining on Sunday, I get rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But then you start to complain. Who are you going to complain to? The Lord? Well, you can, but He's the one that sent it anyways, and so we're thankful for it. I know we need it, and your grass hadn't been growing much, and that's a blessing and a curse. It's not been growing much. It don't look good. It's a blessing that you can go do something else in the evening instead of mowing your grass when you get home, but I'm thankful for the rain, but that moved us inside for the fellowship, and then I'm always concerned about the rain keeping people out of church, but as I told these brothers on the front row, this is the first time in 140 years that front pew's been used. So look, and we got four preachers all the way down through there. So we're so thankful that you're here. It's a joy to be in church. And I read something this week that said, you know, if you'd sing the service, sing when you go to church, like we were in a pep rally, encouraging others for the game, so to speak, of our life. Really, if we come to church realizing what we were doing as we sing the hymns and sing back and forth, we're really encouraging others to go back out in the battle. Lift the banner high. The foe is nigh. We think about those things, and as we come to church, there's a lot of great things that happen. We get encouraged. We get lifted. Sometimes we get convicted if the Lord gets on to us about some things, but we can certainly bear one another's burdens, and it's exciting to see this crowd here today. And I want to preach for a little while from John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. I want to preach a simple message. John chapter number 8, verse number 12. We'll begin there. As you're finding your place in John 8, I heard this story about this couple of rednecks. They were starting this moving company, and they were so, and I say that redneck with affection. You know, I mean, that can go either way, but these couple of rednecks, you know, you say, well, why would you say with affection? Because I is one, so I... You know what they say the redneck's last words are, right? Watch this. And so these rednecks started this moving company. You're going to move things, you know, like two men in a truck, these two rednecks in a trailer. And so they came to their first big job, and there was this big grand piano up on the second story of this house, a big old mansion of a house. And so he's going to have to move that down. There's a big old stairwell. There's plenty of room to get it down. But one of them had an idea. He said, why would we do that? He said, they got those big old patio doors out on that top floor. It goes out to that deck on the top. And so if we just take that piano and we could use a pulley and let it down. So redneck number one gets it all. He puts up in the gable, up in the peak there, puts a pulley and then puts a rope in. He's down the ground. He tells the other redneck, go in the big patio doors and put that on the piano. And what I want you to do is just ease that piano out. And when you ease it out off the edge of that porch, what I'll do is I'll just let it down simple. Just let it down easy. And that way it'll come right down with that pulley, be right down there on the ground. And then we can load in our truck and be a lot easier than carrying it all the way down those steps. So all was going fine. They was easing along out to the edge of the porch. As soon as that piano left the edge of that porch, then what you know what happened. And that weight of that piano was a lot more than redneck number one down the ground. And so what that did, that piano went down and redneck one went up. Redneck one hit the pulley up the top at the peak of that house about the time that piano shattered in 1,000 pieces down the ground, and then there was nothing left of on the end of that rope. So then redneck number one goes from the pulley up on the top. He comes crashing down to the ground, and then he lays there. And his buddy up on the porch runs down the steps and comes down, and he says, "Oh, are you all right? Are you all right?" He said, "Speak to me, speak to me, speak to me." Finally opens his eyes. He said, "Why would I speak to you? I just passed you twice and you never said anything." So, there you have it. Pray you should use the stairs. John chapter number 8. I want to preach about our Savior this morning, and that'll be the title. We're just getting done with the passage where the woman that caught in adultery, in the very act, as the Bible says, is caught and brought and thrown before Jesus Christ and says, "What are you going to do with her," basically? And he says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Some people think, well, Jesus was soft on sin. Jesus wasn't soft on sin. You see, Jesus was the one that could handle all sin. And so when he told that lady, "Go and sin no more," then he knew her heart and knew where she was coming from. But that's not our message. The Bible says in verse number 12, though, of John 8, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am of two men is true. Verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. He was telling them, verse number 17, says, written in your law, you go get a witness. And he says, you want to see a witness? I got a witness. I got to witness God the Father. You're talking to God the Son. I can go get God the Father anytime, and then the God the Father and God the Son witness of the same thing, because our witness is true. And he says, he beareth witness of me. Then said they unto them, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. I want to preach for just a little while out of the passage there about our Savior. You and I notice how dark our world has become. You don't have to look very far. You see the landmark decision that the Supreme Court made this week, which we're very grateful for. But you don't have to look very far for all the vitriol and the wicked responses of all of that that's coming out of things that are said one way or the other. And let me just say, there's unkindness and wickedness on both sides of that. Because some people are saying unkind things on one side, and some people are saying very unkind things on the other side. I'm just saying that regardless, I'm just saying that we don't have to look very far to see how wrong our world, and may I say, as the Bible says, how dark our world has gotten. I thought it interesting as Steve was teaching in here this morning, and as the Lord highlights some verses in your Bible, and I was getting ready for this message today, I was never really tied the two together, that the people that brought the woman caught in adultery and threw her there in front of Jesus, and then he goes on to say, I'm the light of the world. Can you understand that the reason that the world was not seeing that issue right, but the same reason that the world doesn't see this issue right and that issue and every other issue is because they haven't let the light be turned on? And sometimes we get mad at people for not seeing things the way that you see them. Listen, don't forget, folks, that the world is just being the world, is just being the world, and somebody's not had the light of Jesus Christ shine into their heart. They're not going to see things the way that you do. And you don't live back in the 1940s or the 1950s, and maybe we had some generally speaking, some more Christian ideas out prevalent. I'm saying this, that the light needs to be turned on, and I want you to see this morning that he, verse number 12 says, is the light. Lord, bless us now as our prayer. As we get in these next few moments, I pray that you would come, and you've already been here. Lord, you're here. You come with us as we're saved. You never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, I believe you gave us an extra visitation even after that. I believe that you have come to us and you have met with us in a greater way than that this morning through the song service. And Lord, now I'm praying that you would come and you would meet with us in an extra way as we look into your word, and may that person that needs it most get the help that they desperately desire. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, we'll thank you for it. Amen. I want you to see in verse number 12 that Jesus is the simple, most simple sermon you'll ever hear, probably. He's the light. The Bible says Jesus spake unto them, again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14 says that ye are the light of the world, meaning that you're the light, that God lights you, and that you're supposed to light the world. But I'm saying this morning there's a reason why the whole world walks in darkness. That's because they haven't let the light of Jesus Christ shine into their heart. And the reason that you get so mad watching the news, and the reason that you get upset about different things that you hear going on, is because it's dark out there. That's why we have to get to the place where we spread the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. My kids, before, when we went to the Christian school over in Murfreesboro, they would every year, a group of them would go to up to some of those caverns, and they would take you down to these underground caverns. Same, many of you have had it done before. And they'd take you down there, down, 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 down. When you got down there, then they'd warn them, now we're going to turn all the lights off. And you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, of course, because all natural light was extinguished from the area that you were in. I'm thinking about this, my friend. You think this world is dark now, and it is, but you think about this. If it weren't for organizations, all of which you may not agree, and I don't either, but if it weren't for organizations like the Salvation Army and the food ministries here and the pantries and the benevolent help and the churches and the quasi-Christian ministries and all the hospitals that were started out of different Christian organizations and Reformers Unanimous, a ministry for those that are addicted to alcohol and drugs and things, if it weren't for some of the Christian organizations going on in the world that are going on right now, you want to talk about dark, that would be dark. I'm just thankful that the light of this church now for however many years since 1779 has still tried to shine out in this area. And every time the message has gone forth, when people come, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Your world is dark and you need Jesus Christ to light the way. I'm saying this morning that Jesus is the light. All those ministries that go out and all those ministries that help in Jesus' name, all those ministries that feed the home, the hungry, and clothe the people that don't have anything. Those are extensions of His light. I see, first of all, He's the light. But I want you to look in verse number 14. Not only is He the light, but He's also the truth. Verse number 14, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. They challenged Him on that and they say, you're not true. Thy record is not true. He said, boy, oh boy, oh boy, you've never seen truth like you're seeing right now. Because John chapter 14, verse number 6 says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. They didn't realize it when they were saying the things that you're talking about. They're not right. They're not true. But embodied truth was standing before them and giving them these words. What if we had seen Him walking down the streets or the roads, the lanes there? There goes truth. Folks, we might not have been able to handle it. For us to know as much as we know, because the Bible has been completed and given to us, for us to be able to go back then, we might not have been able to understand, or we wouldn't have been able to comprehend all that was going on as the truth was walking down the road there. We have everybody in the world right now that's on this phrase, and I just want to kindly hit it, and that phrase is your truth. You've got to find your truth. Now, folks, listen, it doesn't matter. If you're talking about which car you ought to buy or which kind of house you ought to have or which floor plan you like a split level or you like a ranch or you like this, you don't want your bedrooms upstairs, you want them down, then that's fine. You go find your truth. You find what works good for your family and have at it. You find what kind of clothing style works for you. If you like to be loud and bombastic, you like to be more bland and not so flashy, you have at it. But folks, the very essence of truth is that there's only one of them. You can't have a truth and then my truth be completely opposite and both of them be right. You say the sun shines in the daytime and the moon at night reflects it. I say, no, not in my world. The moon shines at night, or in the daytime, and the sun shines at night. You can say, John, you can think all that you want, but it still doesn't change the fact. And the fact or the truth is always going to supersede everything else. And I don't want to be unkind to all the people that think that they're finding their way, but I want us as a Christian body, I want us to understand that we got to be equipped in this, that we've got to be kind and gracious and give people room to find out where the truth lies, but we've got to be resolved and say that, yes, I understand that that's you're passionate about that, but let's just bring it back to remember that there's only one truth. If somebody may be very, very passionate about their belief in a false God, but we can't say, not biblically we can't say, well, that's just fine for you, but this is going to be good for me. No, folks, that's a dishonest message. That's a non-truthful message. Like one person said, as I was at a preacher's fellowship one time, and he said, well, it's like getting to, that time we lived around Columbus, he says, it's like getting to Columbus. Said, you can take 270, get over there. You can go up 71. You can go up Route 23. You're from down here all the way up through. He said, you can go those. You can go a few other ways. He said, all of them take you to Columbus. And he was likening that to all these different paths take you to heaven. You can go this way or you can go that way. And that person says that and that person says the other. But we're all going the same place. And that preacher wisely answered back. He said, you're right. I could take 270 to get to Columbus. I could take 71 to get to Columbus. I could take 23 to get to Columbus, or I could take 315 to get to Columbus. But he said, the problem, I ain't going to Columbus. He said, I want to go to heaven. And as sincere as people are, and I know I'm being a little whimsical there, but you have to be careful because you don't want to offend somebody and just have them throw the rejection up in your face and say, no, I'm not ever listening. You've got to be compassionate. You've got to have a love and whatnot. But you've got to stand on the truth because the truth is Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen. Nobody comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so as much as we love other folks that are engaged in other religions, other lifestyles, all these other things, but if they don't come by the way of the cross, they can't enter heaven. So we see that He's the light, but not only is He the light, but He's the truth. And that's specifically what I mean to us in this day and age in which we live, this phrase that you hear, oh, that's your truth. Listen, folks, there's only one truth. Again, if it's some subject that matters not, what kind of styles or this, if, sure, find everything you want. Go do your own thing. That's great. But when it comes to how a person gets to heaven, when it comes to the Word, what's our holy book, there's again only one truth. Number three, not only that, but look in verse number 18 if you see. He's the light, but He's true, but He's also sent, verse number 18. Then said they unto Him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. I'm reading verse 19, one verse ahead of us. I am one that bear witness of myself, verse 18, and the Father that sent me. The verse 18, the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Verse number 26 says this, but He that sent me is true. Our Savior was on a mission from the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the great Trinity, the three in one that our minds can't understand. You say, was God the Father God or was God the Son God? Yes. Was the Spirit God or was the Son God? Yes. Was the Father God or was the Spirit God? Yes. They're all three God, but they're entities in themselves. And you say, well, I don't understand that. There's a lot in this book that I don't understand, but I realize that there's enough that I do understand that I need to keep acting on those things. But I'm saying this morning that He is sent. He is the sent one. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember Gethsemane? When Jesus said, if it were possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. In that instance, He was the sent one. And I just wanted to come to you this morning and tell you, I'm so thankful that He came. He was sent, but He came to die on that cross for you and for me. I give you this last one. In verse number 28, you're almost down, you're down further in the chapter. Not only is he all those things, he's the light, he's truth, and he's sent, but he is salvation. Look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I've told you this 100 times, I suppose, but there's a reason why the cross is behind me in the center of this church, right up in the middle, up the top, all the way in the forefront of almost everybody in this room. And that's because we always want the cross to be the center focus of this church. Point people to the cross. Point them to Calvary. Point them to the Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, Jesus said. And here he makes reference to being lifted up on the cross in verse number 28. He says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he. Neither is there salvation any other. The Bible says Jesus Christ is that one. You know, we've talked about so many things that Jesus provides. I told you that all of the quasi-Christian organizations that are alive and functioning right now that help with a myriad of different health issues and problems and social issues, and I thank God for all of them. They're wonderful. But sometimes we start looking at the byproducts of these Christian ministries and we forget the real reason why Jesus came. And you put it like this, my brother collects old Gravelys. Those are those old Gravely tractors that had the motor up front and they have a lot of attachments on the front, had the handles back here. You could sit on a seat and you could ride it. It's like an old walk-behind mower. But there's all kinds of attachments. Mark was showing me one time that there was a snow plow you could put on there so you plow out your driveway when the snow came. There was plows you could put behind it and plow a little garden. There was tillers. There was all these kind of attachments and all of these things. But you got to remember what it was originally made for, mow grass. So I got Mark to show me all of these attachments that went on there, snow plows and plows for the dirt and tillers and all kinds of other things. And I got down to the last question. I said, yes, but does it mow grass? And he said, oh, yeah, it does that too. And that's about the way sometimes you go looking at a new piece of equipment or car, and the salesman will say, oh, it does this, and it does this, and it does this, and it does this, and it's this. And I say, yeah, but does it run? Oh, yeah, it does that. Sometimes we look so much at what churches and ministries have done. And this is a horrible indictment on many of our ministries right now. But we have forgotten what the core message of all of our ministries are supposed to be. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. So I'm thankful that people get helped at food pantries. And I'm thankful we're able to do that. We don't announce these things because we don't want to get patted on the back, but we get involved. And people sitting right here, you get involved helping people on a regular basis. I'm thankful for everybody who gets clothed. I'm thankful for everyone who goes to the homeless shelter. I'm thankful for all of these side things. But can I ask you that you pray that our church and churches, but our church would never veer from the one reason we exist. To show Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You know it as well as I do. You can take a ministry that was founded by a passionate individual that wanted to tell as many people as they could, he or she could, about Jesus Christ. And a few generations later, that's just in some of their founding documents, that they rarely ever get a Bible down and share somebody the gospel right there at their desk. It was in its founding, but not in its function today. And I can tell you this, that the message of this Bible, if you're in this class that Steve teaches, you're learning lots about things that will happen. And it's so wonderful. There's more than we can comprehend. And there's things as you read in here, you say that, boy, I don't know if I understand all that. I've joined the club. I'm looking at it lots of times. I'm thinking, whoo, Dad always tells me, says, son, just put that up on a shelf sometime in a year or two or so. You'll come back and it'll all start making sense. And so there's much in there. But I can tell you this. One old preacher said, I don't know much, but I know real good. And I don't know much, but I know this one real good. Jesus Christ came to this earth on a rescue mission. And He went to that cross and took your sins and my sins and the sins of the world and paid for all the death, hell that was deserved to go on us. And so this morning, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, or you're listening and you're not sure that you're saved, yes, He's the good friend. Yes, Jesus is the one that gives peace. Yes, He's the great teacher. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. But ultimately, He's the one that came into this world to save sinners. In the Old Testament, He was the Passover lamb. He was the sacrifice in Leviticus. He was the great judge in the book of Judges. He was wisdom in the book of Proverbs. He was the great prophet in the minor prophets and the major prophets. He was the King of Kings in Matthew as it's listed out. He was the servant in the book of Mark. He was the Son of Man in the book of Luke. And He was God the Son in the book of John. He is the Rose of Sharon, as the Bible talks about, the bright and morning star. He's the one coming on a white horse that will lead us all. He's the resurrected one. My friend, I'm just telling you that our Savior, Jesus Christ, regardless of what you may hear on the news, regardless of what you may hear people put forth as their opinion or their truth, regardless of all those things, our Savior is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father, and ready to save anybody who comes to Him. And I wanted to say this morning, before I get gone, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And if you're here and you don't know for sure that you know Him personally, then I challenge you before you leave that you might bow your head, realizing that your hopeless condition without Him, but realizing His sufficient work on the cross that He did, and then His death, burial, and resurrection, realizing those things, that you would by faith reach out to Him and invite Him to be your Savior. And if you have done that, then I challenge you one more time to center yourself around the truth, Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Lord, I ask You to work on every heart that's here. Lord, if there's one that's unsaved, I pray they would get saved right there in their seat or here at the altar. It matters not. But Lord, I pray that You've illuminated somebody's heart and their mind and let them know that without salvation, there's no hope of heaven without Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's folks that are, we're confused, and how could we not be when we see the news and we see all these things, confused about good people who want to pull us away from the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to stand with resolve and kindness, graciousness, and love, but with resolve on the truth. Now, here's the invitation, folks. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that Jesus is your personal Savior, oh, you have no doubt He's the Savior. He came, you know the stories, but you're not sure that you've put your faith in Him personally as your Savior. Right there where you sit, would you word a prayer to Him? Something like this. You don't know, there's no magic words with God. But you'd reach out to Him by faith. You say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know You came to this earth to save me. Would You please forgive my sins and come into my life and make me a Christian? Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know You died on the cross for me. Would You please save me and forgive my sins? Take me to heaven when I die. I trust You, Jesus, to save me. I trust that You've done that in your heart. You say, I've already done that before, Brother Herdman. Oh, good, great. You don't need to do it again. He heard you. But maybe there's somebody that needed to do that. maybe somebody on the radio, need to stop what you're doing if it's possible, or and just call out to Jesus Christ. If you're able, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And Brother Daniel will be right here in front of the pulpit that I preached from. If you need somebody to help you through some spiritual things, you need somebody to help you get saved, get born again, he's here with the Bible and would love to show you how you can be sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you have some other spiritual need, then the altar is open for you. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, but you've never been baptized since you got saved. Why don't you come present yourself for that? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Lord has moved on your heart and you feel like that's what he would have you do. Why don't you come present yourself for that? We'd meet with you this week, see what questions you have and get you lined up. As they play another verse, then you come. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you. May look this way. Thank you so much for being in church this morning. What a joy, what a joy, what a joy. I want you to, I didn't see Brother Rick Norris back there. Continue to pray for his wife and her family in the passing of her sweet father. And I want you to keep them lifted up in prayer. And of course, don't forget about the Hauser family. Continue to pray that the Lord would bless that family and the passing Miss Lois, who's in heaven now. And I want you to come back tonight. We have a great service planned for you, and we'll look forward to a lot of different aspects, one of which I think Elizabeth Farmer is going to sing for us. This will be our last service as she moves on to a place of service. She's getting married later this year and working at a great church up around D.C., so I want you to come for that. But for many reasons, we'll have a great service tonight. And then those 20s, that we'll have our Through the Decades Fellowship. That'll be in the Family Life Center. We'll look forward to having you there, and we'll have a great time together. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Bellamy, if you don't mind, to come and dismiss us in prayer, and I'm going to slip back to the lobby and get to greet you, and we'll look forward to, if you're a guest with us today, I hope you get by and see Amy and I, and then also don't forget the guest services counter. Take that guest card in the bulletin by there. They've got a gift for you just so you'll remember being here, and we'll remember you, of course, but we'd love to just welcome you, or thank you for coming. So, Brother Jeff, why don't you pray for us? Thank you.
If you wouldn't mind, remember my wife. She's taking care of her mama right now today. Her mama's up in years and can't take care of herself, so she's helping her daddy too. So, her name is Beverly, and I'd appreciate prayer for our family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, we look to heaven and we say, Thou art God. And we say, Dear God, when we see ourselves and we compare and we see ourselves through the Scriptures, we say, Dear God, thank you for putting up with us. Father, I ask you, please, you help us now. Lord, fill our hearts, our minds with Thy Word. And Lord, I ask you, please, help us see others around us. Lord, with the love that you have for us as well. Father, help us now as we dismiss and we go our separate ways. Almighty Father, may you be glorified in everything we do and we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.